Good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. Let's go back to the book of Jonah. While you're turning there, let me tell you that we're working right now on trying to reach North and South Dakota with John and Romans. I was there earlier this year and found out that there are only 33 independent Baptist churches in total for both North and South Dakota. So not many churches, and a great opportunity to reach two great states with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have $10,000 that someone has said, if you can match that, we'll give that $10,000. So we're working towards that. If you'd like to be a part of that, let me know. Let your pastor know. And we'll try to help some states that don't have as many churches as you have here in Pennsylvania or some of the other states that have more gospel preaching opportunity. And it'd be a great help to them. There are 573,000 homes, 50 cents apiece. That's $286,000 to do both of those states with the gospel. It sounds like a lot of money, but you figure how much is given to other things today. Hundreds of millions of dollars for other things that aren't going to give people eternal life. And I hope that you'll be a part of something that we can reach Canada and the United States with the gospel. The book of Jonah is one of the greatest missions failures and success stories of all times. A prophet, a man of God, a missionary, a man with a clear directive says no to God. No to God. If you've read the book of Jonah at all, you know that we saw in chapter 3, there was a first time that God spoke to Jonah, said, I want you to go to Nineveh, give them the word of God, preach to them. And he said, no, I'm not going to go. Who in their right mind does that? Who says no to the directive of God? Well, I'll tell you, Hope, we do. We do. There are times in our lives when God calls upon us to do something and we refuse. Talk to that person about the gospel. I can't do it. I'm too afraid. Get more involved in church. Well, I'm just too busy. Get dedicated to the things of God and go and give the gospel somewhere else. I just can't do that. I don't have the training. Jonah had some misconceptions about missions, the very same ones we do. I want to show you four misconceptions of missions this morning that Jonah and I believe that many of us may have as well. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I have been to Joppa. I've been there 12 times. I take regular trips to Israel, take folks with me. And if you've never been to Israel, you need to go. You need to go. You need to see it. I've been to this place where this preacher ran to get away from giving the message of the gospel to another nation. Our text says, the word of who? The word of the Lord. The Lord came unto who? Jonah, the son of Amittai. The directive was to go to where? Nineveh. The message was to cry against it for what? Their great wickedness. I think we see very clearly God's mission, God's directive in Jonah's life. Is there even one of us that doesn't see that as a clear directive from God? He gives a specific place and a specific time to a specific person to go. Now let me ask you, if you'd been Jonah, what would you have done? What would you have done? If God said to you, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to a heathen nation that they might be saved, what would you have done? Well, most of us would probably say, well, I would have gone. I would have gone. Why wouldn't you? Well, let me give you a little more of the history to know that Israel and Nineveh were not friends. They were not friends. They were warring nations. In fact, the Ninevites were quite a cruel people and had done some very unjust things to the nation of Israel. It could be that maybe Jonah's family had been impacted. Maybe it was that there was a great patriotism within the heart of Jonah, like you have here in the United States, a great patriotism for America, like we have in Canada. We love our country. We want to protect our country. We want to uphold our country. And could I say that maybe Jonah felt the same way that maybe many Americans did when some planes flew into the Trade Towers over 20 years ago in New York City? I remember watching that. I remember getting my kids to the television and showing them what was going on. One of the greatest, most horrific days in the history of the United States. And we in Canada, because you're our neighbors and our friends and our allies, felt the same hurt and grief that you were feeling. And I remember the cry of the next day. It was not, hey, let's go to the Muslim nations and deliver the gospel. That was not the message. It was, we will find you and we will destroy you. You're our enemy. And here's a man now who, though a preacher, is called to go to a nation that maybe did some pretty horrific things to his nation, but still, it was the call of God. That supersedes all other things in our lives. When God calls, it is then our mission. I want to show you that the first misconception of missions is often that God's call can be misdirected. It begins with a misstep. Jonah runs away from Nineveh? No, he runs away from the presence of the Lord we see in verse 3. He mentions it twice in his writing, that presence of the Lord. Can anyone run from the presence of an omnipresent God? Well, obviously not. If he's omnipresent, if he's everywhere, you can't go anywhere and not be in the presence of God. But could I say that many of us try to do that as well? In the dark of night, maybe on our cell phone when we're alone, maybe away from home or in a foreign country, maybe serving in an armed service, or maybe in a business, and we're away from those things that we normally do, we'd maybe find ourselves running from the presence of the Lord, trying to get away from Him. He goes to Joppa. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. For the same reasons you and I do. Why would a preacher, a prophet, a godly person ever think to run from the presence of God? Well, I believe this. He knew that in the presence of the Lord, he'd be away from home. Away from home. Maybe today God's working on your heart to maybe be a missionary that would go to a foreign nation. Could I tell you that Canada could desperately use your help? 300 independent Baptist churches, 30 without a pastor right now, and we have less than 20 young men studying for the ministry to cover upcoming 150 to 180 churches being pastored by men my age or older. We're in trouble. Could I say that America is in trouble as well? As I travel, there are many churches that are having a very hard time finding young men to come and take ministry. And places around the world, missionaries are coming off the field in greater number than we are replacing them on the field. So maybe today God's speaking to you. And you'd say, well, you know, God, one of the reasons I can't leave is because I'd have to leave my family. I'd have to leave the comforts of the United States. I'd have to leave this church. I'll tell you, for some, what a hardship would be is, and I know this now, I have grandkids. How many of you have grandkids? Put your hand up if you have grandkids. Well, let me tell you about grandkids. You know what grandkids are? Grandkids are God's gift to you for not killing your children. That's what that is. Because let's face it, you wanted to at one time, didn't you? You thought about it. It's God's gift to you for not selling your teenagers into the circus, all right? The thought of my grandkids going to another field has kept me from praying with a great hardness, God, please take my children to a foreign field. If God called them, I'd rejoice. And we would do all that we could. But boy, the family is now split up. Brother and sister are gone to other parts, and we don't see them. Then Christmas is not the same. I think he knew that in the presence of the Lord, he'd not be well received. Could I remind you that this is not a man that Nineveh is going to open their arms and say, hey, Israeli enemy, come on in. We're glad to see you. That's not going to happen. Can I tell you that in our lives, there are times and situations where we need to give the gospel, we need to go forward, and we realize that we may not be well received. Yesterday, Ruthie and I went over to State College, and we went onto the campus of the great Penn State University. And we drove down to the main building down there, the old main, and looked around, and I thought this. On that campus, we looked up, I think what you say was 74,000 students or maybe on campus, something like that. Large number. Can you imagine if I walked down to Penn State University Monday morning and said, Penn State University, most of you are going to die and go to hell if you don't repent today. I think I'd be well received, don't you? Hey, you farm boys, studying how to grow grass. You need to get saved. You're going to die and go to hell. Hey, football team, you better get saved. You're going to die and go to hell. I'm sure they'd lift me up as a champion and take me all over the campus and say what a great guy I was. No, that's probably why we don't go down there and do that. That's probably why we're a little reluctant to reach out sometimes, because we have a society around us that is not really in favor of what we're speaking. People ask all the time, how does the gospel go in Canada? I'll tell you this. We have a very liberal nation and a very, very, very conservative gospel message. And those two things don't often go well together. We have a nation like your nation that over the last number of years has been told there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. We evolved. This all just happened. Big Bang Theory. And we stand and say, no, there is a God, and that God is triune, that God is a great God, that God is a powerful God, that God is omnipresent, He is omnipotent, He is sovereign, He is going to judge you one day. That doesn't go over well. We say we have a God who created just two sexes, male and female. We have a God who designed your life, and you should not try to change that. We believe in the sanctity of life, both young and old, born and unborn. We believe in that, and this world says, you're crazy. I think maybe he didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew that in the presence of the Lord, he'd serve those he did not know or hated. Prejudice is a word that has some real meaning today. A lot of people deal with prejudice. And there are a lot of people that have strong feeling about prejudice. Can I say that we all have some type of prejudice in our lives? You may say, there's not a prejudice bone in my body. I would say this, if a man raped your wife and children, would you have prejudice against him? Obviously, yes. If someone stood so strongly against who you are and what you believe that you wouldn't have some type of prejudice against them, we all have some type of prejudice. And this man had a definite prejudice, and he didn't try to hide it. He made it very well known. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I do not want to declare God's word to those people. Then there is a misplacement. He goes to Joppa to go to Tarshish. Tarshish was the furthest outpost of the known world at that time. He actually went to the end of the world. He went as far away as he could possibly get from that place. It wasn't just the next town. He went as far as he could go. Have any of us called into the presence of the Lord ever done that? Have we ever run from something that we know God wants us to do? Yes, absolutely we have. We do it. Then we see this. There's a mismanagement. Notice in verse 3, he says, to go with them. Who's them? Well, I'll tell you who it wasn't. It wasn't the Lord. It wasn't the people of Nineveh. It wasn't the God-fearing. He gets into a boat with a bunch of men who have no desire to preach the gospel either. Isn't it funny as Christians when we run from the presence of the Lord or we run from the call of God, how we often run to those who are an extreme opposite? Do you ever notice people that leave church? They come to church for a while and they get away often in their teen years. They don't run with a crowd that glorifies God. They don't run with a crowd that wants to do godly things. They run to almost a complete opposite. And here's what this man of God, it's hard for me to believe, this man of God does the same thing. I know this, right missions begins with a walk toward and with the Lord. If this church is going to support missions, whether it be the printing of God's word or the declaring of God's word in other parts of this world, this church must be right with God. And you must be walking towards the things of the Lord. If you get caught up in self, if you get caught up in the things of this world, you'll not do it. It involves a movement in the direction of God's leading. Maybe in your own life today, God begins to speak to you and call to you about going to another place and declaring the gospel. You must move towards that and become involved in those things that help you in God's leading. And then thirdly, it's strengthened by a strong Christian support system. We could not have done in Canada what we did by giving a gospel in every home. We couldn't have done that without the help of a lot of people who gave towards that. Some like you who gave towards that. Some who gave time and their energy. Some who gave great finances. Some who gave a couple dollars. It all added up to that price tag to take care of that project. Then we see the next misconception of missions. The gospel is not our responsibility. Here's the misconception that giving of the gospel is the responsibility of those who went to Bible school. It's the responsibility of those who really know the Bible. Those who have had the call of God to go to others. It's our pastor's responsibility. He's been trained. He knows. It's our assistant pastor, our youth pastor. It's their responsibility because they're trained. They know how to do it. I'm just a lay person. Maybe this. They'd say, I can't do it because I don't have any qualifications. Jonah had all those qualifications, and it ran from the presence of the Lord because God called him to take his message to Nineveh. Let me ask you, who, what, or where is your Nineveh? Where's your Nineveh? We all have one. There is a group of people. There is a cast of people. There is a nation. There's some situation in which you are reserved to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of us have ever given the gospel to our higher ranking politicians? To our doctor? To our lawyer? To those college professors? We think, well, they're too smart and I'm too dumb. Not when it comes to the Bible. You probably have a PhD compared to what they know of God's word. You have something given from God. You have a movement of the Holy Spirit of God, which trumps anything that could ever be a barrier to you. Jonah, set apart by God, had time to really think about that. And here's what happened. Look at Jonah chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. It says, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Isn't that what we all do? And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. 3 days in a whale in the depths refocused Jonah to his God-given responsibility. He comes to that place where he says that great line. He says, I will pay what I have vowed in verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not up to me who gets the gospel. It's not up to me who gets saved and doesn't get saved. There may be a wicked criminal or a wicked person or somebody who's done great hurt to you. You'd say, I don't care if they ever get saved. Well, listen, it matters to God. God created all of mankind, and for all of mankind, he gives the promise of eternal life. God called him to go and tell a lost world that only faith and humility will save. That was his responsibility. Thirdly, we see this misconception. God only cares for those that we care for. In chapter 3, verses 10 through chapter 4, verse 3, we've read part of that says, and God saw their works, and they turned their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Wow. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in mine own country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. It says this, and merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Imagine a pastor saying that. Imagine Pastor Scheib. Revival breaks out in Bellefonte. Goes over to State College. Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of people begin coming to church. You can't put them all in. You've got to have 3-4 services. You've got to put up a tent. You've got to build a new building. Things are happening. He comes in and goes, this is terrible. People are getting saved like crazy. I've got to baptize 10, 20 people every Sunday. This is ridiculous. Not going to say that. He'd be so excited. This church would be excited. But here's a man of God who's crying, says, take my life. It's hard to fathom, but God wants all people of all times, of all races, of all creeds, of all political parties, and even those who commit heinous crimes to be saved. We have a hard time. We struggle with that. And this preacher had a hard time with that. These are the enemies of us. These people are cruel. These people are wicked. In fact, it was so wicked, God, it caught your attention. And you want me to give them the message that will get them out of that? The only thing harder is for us to accept and extend that to them. Ours is not to reason why. Ours is to simply give the cry. Jonah did. The preacher did. The missionary did. And Nineveh got saved. And Jonah got angry. Have you ever gotten angry because somebody got saved? Ever got upset because you didn't think they were worthy? Were you ever upset because you thought they shouldn't have got what I got? There is no one, listen, there is no one that repents that does not get God's mercy. No one. The criminal, the pervert, the wicked, the foreigner, all. For God so loved, say it with me, for God so loved the world. Come on, say it with me. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. That's all people. Of all situations, of all time. You may not care for them, but God does. The final misconception is this. Our ease is more important than the lost. Look at Jonah chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. It says, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the ground, the gourd, I'm sorry, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted, and he wished in himself to die. Again, he wants to die. and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast had not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah wilted when things got hot. Jonah's focus was on the wrong things. Jonah forgot what winning the lost is. It's God's heartbeat. You've had a missions month. That's God's heartbeat. God wants other people to receive the gospel message that you received. And listen, Canada, America, we have received the word of God. We've had the word of God. We've cherished the word of God. And we've often held on to the word of God. While millions and billions of people in this world struggle to know how to fill that void of what's missing in their lives. Jonah forgot the heartbeat of God. God spared 60,000, 120,000 souls. Can you imagine that? 120,000 people trusted in God by faith. 120,000 people were removed from an eternity of hell into the presence of an eternal life. 120,000 souls that could not discern between their right hand and their left, we are told. People that had no clue concerning the spiritual things of sin and death, hell and mercy. Wait, did I just describe Nineveh, or did I describe America, Canada, and most of this world? Aren't people in that place today? Aren't people struggling today? Am I a man or am I a woman? Is this a family or is it not? Is this who I should be, or should I change to something else? Should we be a loving people or a hard people? This world's really messed up today. I think it doesn't take much for us to see that. Watch the news for 10 minutes and you'll see people are storming against those who are trying to protect the borders. They're storming against those who are friends of Israel. They're storming against anything of any kind of uphold today. We're living in a world where their left hand and their right hand don't know what they're doing. And we get upset. I get upset. I think, what are you doing? You're crazy. And then I remember this. Yes, they are. Because they don't have the Holy Spirit of God. We expect unsaved people who don't know God to live like we who do. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God residing within them. And it's our job to get that Holy Spirit to them and get them united with the things of Jesus Christ, leading them into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they can know what we know, the love of God, the mercy of God, the peace of God, and the hope of God. What's missing in the lives of people today? Peace, hope, and purpose. There's no peace in this world today. Israel just signed a peace deal. I got bad news for you. No peace in Israel. The Bible says they'll cry peace, peace, but there'll be no peace. Hope today. There is a hopeless generation today. Young people that are looking, what do we live for? How do we make it? And we have the answer in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you have a clear directive from God? Matthew 28 says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's our directive. That's to us. That's to you. You have a clear directive. Do we have a message from the Lord to the lost? Absolutely. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do we have a fulfilling and directive with the message? Or do we believe that God's call can be misdirected? Do we believe the gospel is not our responsibility? Do we believe that God only cares for we who care about in our lives? And do we take our ease more important than the need of the lost? There's some things that we're going to have to do without that others may have. Today, my charge to you, my call to you is, would you understand today this great saying, no man should ever hear the gospel twice till all have heard it once. Today, let's take the gospel to a world that's lost without any reserve, without any withhold, without running away, because we do see a clear directive and we respond to that today as we ought, not as Jonah. Sadly, the end of Jonah, there's no more talk of Jonah. There's no more resolve of Jonah. I believe that perhaps maybe God said, okay, Jonah, you've asked three times. I'm going to take you home. You're not going to preach anymore. You'll not receive any more blessing of the Lord because you had a misconception of missions. Father, thank you for this day and for these good folks. I pray, Lord, that today we'll leave here different than when we came. And I pray, Lord, that these folks would take into consideration the questions asked today. Do we see that directive? Do we respond to that directive? And I pray, Lord, today that all of us would answer that question. Yes, I am following the Lord. I am giving that word. I am faithful to distribute it. I'm doing all that I can that others might have that good news of Christ. Or would we have to say today, I'm a Jonah. I'm a Jonah. Father, help us today to follow the right word, the word, the word of God, and to give it all that we can. We pray it in Jesus' name.